went to pet that cheetah. I said, she's nuttier than a fruitcake. but she did it. And the lady that was there had trained it from an infant, a kitten. And she said, no, it'll be okay as long as you don't, you know, show fear. I was like, okay. But I want you to take your Bible and turn, if you will, tonight to Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. And just before we go to the message this evening, just to update you a little bit on the, especially on the Grace Oasis Project. So as you know well, and I just can't say thank you enough for your gifts and contributions to it. I tell you, folks, God just did something there. It's resonating all over the country. Pastor, every church we're in, people are just so encouraged by seeing God do something so great in this generation. And I don't know about you, but I've always believed God did the great things. But I've sometimes struggled thinking God would do those great things in my life. And, you know, just wondering if I was really one of those persons that God would do that with. And it doesn't cause pride, I'll tell you that. It puts you on your knees in humility. And I'd ask you to pray for us. There's a lot of moving parts now that need to come together in these next couple of months. And we have two families coming to do work there, going to be there for 90 days. We have to have all the materials, you know, bought and in place when they get there so that they're not twiddling their thumbs waiting on work to do. And we're trying to raise $100,000 to take back with us, and we have 80 of that's been pledged or that's come in. So I believe the Lord's going to provide. And I was telling Pastor about Woodmiser, a company called Woodmiser, just gave $4,000, and we've never met anybody from there, but Pastor Red down in Rushville made a connection and got that done. And it's just amazing to see God's people working together for the glory of the Lord. Amen. But pray for those moving parts to come together. Also, if you would, pray that God would give us a lot of wisdom. You know, we need to really know how to utilize that property best and what to do first and what to do later and that kind of thing. But one thing that we maybe haven't said a lot about in our prayer letters and in our videos is the government of Botswana is crying out for help because there's a 73% divorce rate in Botswana right now, 73% divorce rate. And that is very, very driven by cultural ideologies and traditional beliefs that are very anti-biblical. You know, God's way works, amen? And when we do it God's way, it works, and it's very blessed. But the government is just crying out for somebody to help with that. And we've been able to answer that call, and we told them, hey, listen, you know, we've been here 7 years. We've purchased this property. One of the things we're focusing on is reaching married couples and getting them to that property and giving them solid biblical counseling and a foundation upon which to build a godly Christian home and a Christ-honoring marriage. And I would really ask you to pray because we have asked them to give us permanent residence so that we know we don't have to worry about every 5 years will we be able to renew our permits, but we know that we'll be in the country until the Lord comes or takes us home. And that's a big deal. If we can get that done this year and have that nailed down, then obviously it's just going to be a lot easier to build for the long term. So please pray with us about it, all right? Let's pray together and we'll read our text. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the blessing, Lord, of serving you and the joy of God's people. Lord, being able to celebrate together tonight the grace and the goodness of God in Botswana. Lord, a far-off place that many may never see with their own eyes. But Lord, we get to enjoy all of heaven together with those who've been saved, the redeemed of all ages. Lord, I look forward to that time. I pray, O Lord, that you would bless tonight. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help us, God, to be a help and a blessing in the message. And Lord, we pray that you would impress upon our hearts tonight the need, Lord, to pray even in the hard times. And Lord, to be faithful to pray. As Pastor said, Lord, that we would have, Lord, a fortitude about us, God, in these last hours. Lord, that we would remain faithful. and God faithful to pray. And I thank you, Lord, for those who have prayed for us. For Lord, we know tonight that God, prayer is the impetus that moves the hand and the heart of God. And Lord, I don't know that I can explain that. It's a mystery to me. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you've given us this avenue of approach to you and this grace, God, where you bestow your goodness to us in answer to the cries of our heart. Lord, help us tonight, I pray, to understand it in a better way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 9 tonight, and I think you'll be very familiar with the story. Could we stand together and quickly read through the passage here, beginning in verse 14? And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Would you read this last part of this verse with me in unison? But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. How many of you have prayed that prayer? Amen. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. Thank you. You may be seated. I just want to share with you tonight out of this passage some very practical observations about praying over tough cases or praying when things seem difficult or impossible. Let me revert back tonight, if I can, for just a moment to the Grace Oasis Project. And to be honest with you, when Cindy first brought it to my attention, she walked into my office and she had her cell phone and she said, Look what I found on Facebook. And to be honest with you, we knew that something like this was going to be a part of the ministry in the future, but we weren't expecting it in the now. And how many of you understand that sometimes God's timetable is a whole lot different than ours? Amen. And the Lord made it very clear that it was a now thing. And I prayed. We did a lot of spiritual due diligence. We did a lot of financial due diligence. There's, you don't make a decision like that without really knowing that it is the Lord. Now I believe this, and I believe this now more than I ever have in my life, that if it is of the Lord, God's going to do it. Amen? Now if it's not of the Lord and it don't work out, that's pretty concerning. And understand that before you approach your churches and say, hey, God's given us this opportunity, would you pray and would you give and would you invest in this? I mean, you need to know God's going to do it. And I had one pastor told me, he said, Brother Haley, when I first read your letter, I thought, he's crazy. And I said, you're right. But God made it so clear. And once God made it clear that it was meant to be, then we were able to pray with confidence. But I'd be lying to you to say that there weren't times when I said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That there weren't mornings when I woke up and said, Lord, could we just get indication of another donation or another gift, just something to kind of keep us going and keep us encouraged. The first $80,000 that we had to have just to make a earnest money deposit, that was pretty big. That was a mountain, honestly, for God to move. And we, you know, approached that mountain through prayer and through faith and saw God do a great thing. And I remember, preacher, when that part was done, and I said, wow, look, God did this. We got this part done. But then I looked at what remained. And I said, you know, what remained is like four times what we started out needing. But we saw God do it. But one thing I learned for sure during that process, and I believe it's something that we sometimes just need to be reminded of, is that God is very tender and very compassionate to our needs. But he does desire that we pray. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 says, in all things whatsoever we shall ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. How many of you believe that God answers prayer? And how many of you believe that God often allows us to get into dire circumstances so that we pray, so that when we pray and God answers, it just reaffirms our faith, amen, and reaffirms our confidence in him? And I don't know about you tonight, but I'm going to be very honest with you tonight and say, I need that in my life. I don't want to forget God. You know, I don't want to get to a point where in self-sufficiency and self-reliance, I get backslid on the Lord because I quit praying and trusting God even for the daily needs of life. Amen. You know, we pray, or we're taught to pray, give us this day our daily bread. How many of us understand that you can go to Walmart and buy a loaf of bread and it lasts 2 weeks? You know, we don't really even understand the concept of daily bread anymore. We can get bread any day of the week, and it'll be good 2 weeks later. But the truth of the matter is, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I need thee every hour. Amen. And I want you to look with me tonight at this man and his situation, and just let me give you, if I may, what the Lord's laid on our heart tonight about this matter of praying when things are desperate. The first thing I would share is that we should always take our burden to the Lord before we go to men. Now look at that. The Bible says that he came to the disciples and there was a great multitude about them, and the scribes were questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and they ran to him and saluted him. And then he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? Now notice something here. What question ye with them? Now what would we naturally expect the next verse in the Bible to do? We would naturally expect it to be the answer of the scribes. But I want you to see that this father was so desperate and so heartbroken and so desirous to get a hold of the Lord that he didn't even give the scribes an opportunity to answer. And I think the Lord knew that the answer from the scribes was not what was important. He just approached them and he just approached the multitudes and asked the scribes, what are you talking about with my disciples? But look at verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now watch this. I brought unto thee my son. But wait a minute, we're going to see in a minute that he says, I brought him to your disciples and they could not. But how many of you understand that the Father had every right to expect the disciples who walked with Jesus to be able to help him because they were his followers after all. They were his closest disciples. And he said, in great desperation, I brought my son. But they've not helped him. So in bringing his son to the disciples, in essence, he had brought him to Jesus. But look what happened. He said, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and he gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now the Lord answered, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And then let's read it together. Ready? Those four words. Bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever done this? Have you ever had a need in your life and it was wearing on you and you on purpose, preacher, pray with me. I got a car payment that's due on Friday and I'm $50 short and I really need God to move, preacher, so you pray, preacher, that God will help me with that $50 I need. And you know, you're sitting there thinking, and by the way, if the Lord touches your heart to give me that $50, that'd be great.
Amen.
You know, have you ever done that? Anybody? Can we get some honesty in the house of God tonight? Are y'all going to throw me under the bus and let me be the only heathen in the house? Amen. Of course you have. Because sometimes, for some reason, we would just rather, now don't miss this, okay? We would just rather trust our own devices than to really just take it to God and let God do it. I could tell you a story. I won't tell it tonight for sake of time, but I could tell you a story where back when we first were going to Botswana and we were raising our deputation, we had a $10,000 need. A $10,000 need. And we'd had like months to prepare for this and really thought, you know, it was no big deal and God was going to take care of it and yada, yada, yada. So we really weren't that worried about it. And then all of a sudden we got down to a crisis situation where we had like, what, Mom, 48 hours to come up with this $10,000. But you know what we did? We appealed to the God of heaven. Didn't broadcast the need, didn't try to raise it, didn't try to go to our own devices, just said, you know what, Lord, you know what it is, and you're God, and if you can't take care of this, then we sure don't need to be trusting you to take care of us in Botswana. And by golly, I want you to know the Lord did it. And he did it in a miraculous fashion. And he did it without us having to manipulate or connive or scheme. We see that all the time in Botswana. You know, people will have a need. Boy, they just got their way of coming up, you know, doing kind of what I just did to pastor there. And one of the things I had to learn as a missionary, and I'm sure other missionaries will tell you the same, American money is not the answer to their problems. Our job as missionaries is to teach our people there to pray to the same God that we pray to here. And one of the things we have to do sometimes is not help and not get involved, because in getting involved, we're robbing them of the opportunity to learn to take their needs to God. Amen? And it's not an easy thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. So we should take our burden to the Lord and not to men. Now, the second thing I'd let you see tonight, and I think this is very important, is don't let the level of difficulty discourage you. You know the verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God can do anything. I mean, really, He can. And sometimes God just gives us these dire circumstances so that we can be reminded that God not only can do anything, but God will do anything that is according to His will and His wisdom. So look what happened, okay? The father described, he said, wherever he takes him, he tears him and he foams and he gnashes with his teeth and he pineth away. Now, aren't you glad tonight that this is not describing your son or your daughter? Amen? I mean, this father, can you imagine his desperation? I don't know if you've ever dealt with a drug addict that was recovering and you were trying to help them. And boy, I tell you, sometimes you can get frustrated at what people will do to themselves even when they don't really want to do it. Sometimes folks become so addicted and so overcome by such things that they just do crazy things to themselves and to everybody else around them. I met a young man recently, just this past Sunday, sat with him across from a table, saw the grace of God in his life in so many ways. His eyes are clear, his countenance is beautiful. He's in church, he loves the Lord. He was on the front row Sunday morning, he loves the pastor. Him and the pastor are in counseling together. He just got out of prison. And you know, the only reason he's at that church, preacher, is because the pastor sent him a card when he was in prison. And it so touched his heart that as soon as he got out of prison, he made a beeline to the church. And God saved him and he got right with God. I mean, thoroughly right with God. Just beautiful, beautiful. But he told me, he said, preacher, he said, I'm ashamed of all the things that I did. He said, I'm ashamed of what I was. And he said, I just am so thankful that God has cleansed me and forgiven me. Amen. He said, but I have all those thoughts of all those things that I was willing to do. He said, stealing money off my grandmother just to buy drugs. Can you imagine? Well, this son was very troubled, demon-possessed. There's an incredible description here, but I want you to see something, okay? Jesus said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. Sometimes we get discouraged when we're praying, but pray without ceasing. Press on in prayer. Trust God. Don't let yourself get discouraged. You know, undoubtedly, this father fully expected that in spite of all the other attempts he had made that had left him disappointed, that this time he was going to get real help. Have you ever gone somewhere looking for real help only to be disappointed yet again? I think about the Lord Jesus when he walked by the fig tree. And the Bible says he was hungered. And he walked by the fig tree excited, happily, expecting to find fruit thereon. And there was no fruit. Do you remember what he did? He cursed it. And the next day the disciples walked by it again and it was withering up and it was dying. Jesus cursed it because there was no fruit on it. And every time I read that passage, I think to myself, Lord, you have given me the responsibility to give the gospel to a lost and dying world. You have given us the charge to show compassion, to show love. Hey, I'm not talking about loving saints. It's easy to love each other inside these four walls. It's a little bit of a challenge to love the wicked and the ungodly outside of these four walls. Are we together tonight? Amen. I mean, you know, when you go down and you pass out tracts at the lighting of the Monument Circle, you know, you may have some folks that are very festive and in a good mood and say, oh, thank you, wonderful. You may have some folks that say, no, thanks, I'm not interested. But we've got to love them just the same. We've got to have a heart for them just the same. And let us not be amongst those who disappoint those who are coming and looking for help. Amen. And that's a whole nother matter of prayer. Lord, enable me, equip me, empower me to be able so that I'm not a disappointment to those who come looking for your grace. Amen. Number three, don't let waiting cause you to give up on God. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And I want you to notice some words here. And oft times, it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Now, how many of us understand tonight that Satan has a multitude of ways to afflict a person and cause their destruction? He said it tears him. The Father said he pineth away. Can you imagine? In my mind, I just picture, Pastor, this skinny, frail bag of bones that's just a spectacle of human tragedy and devastation, just a human life that's nothing of what God meant it to be. And here's this poor father, and Jesus said, you know, how long has this been going on? He said, since he was a child. Can you imagine your child acting that way? Now, if we went and talked to the nursery workers tonight, there may be a few children who do act that way. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, oft times into the fire, oft times into the waters, oft times trying to destroy him. And how patient and how persevering that daddy was. I want to tell you a quick story. I'm really watching the clock here tonight. I know it's the night before Thanksgiving, and all you mamas got to go home and make pumpkin pie and pecan pie and everything else. Can I get a witness? Say amen. Amen. Preacher's already enticed us with all this talk about food tonight, so we got to let you go and get to it. Amen. Bernie McDonald was in Rushville, Indiana, and his wife Lisa was a member of our church there, sweetest lady in the world. And one Sunday she left a service in the middle of the service, and I could see as she went out that she was very, very visibly troubled, and she went down the steep back stairs out of the auditorium and into the basement of the church. And I asked my wife, I said, go talk to Lisa, something's going on. And she went down there, and Lisa was weeping, and she said, I so want Bernie to get saved. I so want Bernie to get saved. Now, I'd gone to visit Bernie, and the first time I went to visit Bernie, we stood on the porch and we talked about hot rods, the front porch of his house, and we talked about hot rods, and we talked about deer hunting, and we talked about guy things, and he was fine with that conversation. But the minute I said, now, Bernie, if you will allow me to, I'd like to invite you to come visit our church. And man, his countenance changed. And he literally ordered me off his front porch. He said, if that's all you came for here, you can get the blankety blank out of here. And yeah, yeah, yeah. And off I went. Very frustrated. As far as I ever got from Bernie. Then his wife got a burden, started weeping. I caught her burden. God so touched my heart that day that I purposed in my heart, I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast regularly until we see this man saved. I was driving a truck, it was bivocational back then, and I was driving a semi-truck for Fraley and Schilling Trucking, and I was running up to Columbus every day on a milk run, and I would sit up there when my truck was parked at lunch, and I would pray for that man's soul. And I never forget, I got off work early one day, and the Spirit of God said, go see Bernie McDonald. So sure enough, I got to Rushville, I parked the truck in the lot, got in my pickup, went straight to Bernie McDonald's, and you know what? The Holy Spirit of God had him ready. And I got to Bernie's house that day, and Bernie invited me in, and we sat and talked for 2-3 hours that day, and he allowed me, for the first time in his life, he allowed somebody to share the gospel with him. Now, I shared the gospel with Bernie, and I fully expected Bernie to get saved. And I mean, it's time to draw the net, brother. You know, and he's listened, and he's heard it, and he's obviously under conviction. And I said, Bernie, wouldn't you like to ask Christ to save you right now? And he said, no. He said, I appreciate you coming by, but I just need some time to think about it. And oh, if you're a soul winner, you know, now, 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 now. now, you know, today's the day of salvation and all that. But out of respect, I just said, well, Bernie, I've done the best I know how to share the truth with you, and I'm going to leave you with the Lord. But I said, brother, I'm going to pray for you and just pray that God will get a hold of your heart. Well, I had a really, really early day that day, but the next day I had to leave out in the middle of the night, and the next day was a real hard day, and I got home late, and I rushed home and was getting changed in the shower, getting changed to go back up to the church for Thursday night visitation, and my wife come running into the bathroom, and she said, hurry up and get dressed. You'll never believe who's sitting out here on the front porch. And it was Bernie McDonald. And he said, preacher, I was up all night. He said, I couldn't think of anything else at work today. He said, as soon as I got off work, he worked down on the south side of Indianapolis. He said, I shot right up 52 and into Rushville, and I came straight to your house. And he said, I want to ask Christ to save me. Now, what if his wife had quit praying? What if she'd have got frustrated and impatient and just said it's not worth it? What if the preacher had not caught her burden and God prompted me to pray? And you see what I'm saying? I'm just saying, don't let waiting get you discouraged and keep you from pressing on in prayer. Amen? Number four, be honest with God when you pray. The Lord Jesus was asked if he would do anything, that he would have compassion on that father and on that son and help them. And in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, I love this. I absolutely love his humility, his honesty, and his transparency. He said with tears, Lord, I believe. Notice the Bible says he cried out. He cried out, do you hear the desperation and the conviction in his heart? Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Can I be honest with you? I think we need to be reminded tonight that when we pray, God already knows everything we're going to say. And you know, my mama used to say, don't try to pull the wool over God's eyes when you pray. You know, nothing is hidden from the Lord. Amen? The Bible says we're naked, open with him with whom we have to do. I mean, I think that, you know, we somehow think that if we pray flowery prayers and we get it just right, that somehow we're going to impress God. Do you know what impresses God? Humility and sincerity. That's all the Lord's looking for out of our heart is just humility and sincerity. And when we come to the Lord in humility and we come to the Lord in sincerity, especially when we come to the Lord in brokenness, there will always be a blessing that follows that. Amen. Be honest with God when you pray. And then I want you to see, and I think this is critically important tonight, God is in control. Who was it, Brother John, you prayed tonight for the offering? How many of you know that we don't always know how to pray as we ought? Now, when this whole thing with Israel broke out, if you love God, you have to be pro-Israel. Are we together? Amen. And I understand tonight, even though I'm pro-Israel, I understand that in my heart, because they're God's chosen people, I am for the people who have not chosen their Messiah. I am for the people who have crucified their Christ as a nation. And if you go to Israel today, you know, of course, you've got the Orthodox Jews and those, you know, who are traditionally at the Wailing Wall and all that. But for the most part, folks, Israel is an atheistic society. An unregenerate atheistic society. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I have specifically noticed, I've taken note that when they interview the victims' families, I've yet to hear one person make reference to God helping us. It's like God is just gone from their psyche. Now, we know that will change. The tribulation period will have at its core the purpose of turning Israel back to God as a nation. And thank the Lord for that and that time that's coming. But something that I think we have to remember tonight is that God is in control. And as I was out one Saturday morning, I went out to pray, and I was praying for Israel. And Pastor, I had heard a statement made earlier in the week, and it said, we're praying for the captives, but are we praying for the captors who are held captive by the same Satan that holds the captives captive? So they're in a double captivity. Not only are they in physical captivity, but they're in spiritual captivity. But the, you know, terrorists are just the same. And I said, Lord, how can I pray for these murderous people? And God so impressed upon my heart. And I don't know if it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you, this is how I prayed that day. That day I said, Lord, here's the best way I know how to pray. And you take it and make it right before God, because that's what you promised you'd do. And I said, you know, if there's any chance that any one of those terrorists will somehow hear the gospel and be saved at some point in their life, the light of Christ will shine into their heart. God, somehow protect and preserve them so that they do not perish. And those Israeli soldiers, God, you know which of those might call upon you and be saved. I'm not a Calvinist. I never will be. Hallelujah. I believe Christ died for all men. Amen. And I'll get adamant with you if you want to talk about it. I mean adamant, because it's a real hard conviction in my heart. God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. And if God eeny, meeny, miny mowed you into heaven or hell, that's just not the God I serve. But I do firmly believe in the foreknowledge of God, and I do believe God knows who will and who won't. And I prayed that day, and I said, Lord, if there's any chance that one of these guys is going to get saved, then please preserve their life. And I said, it's war, and in war people die. But Lord, please, let the ones who die be those who are going to perish regardless. And I don't know how better to pray, except to be honest with God. But one thing I thank the Lord for is that I prayed the best I could. But I want to tell you, I believe God is in control of it all. I believe that He is sovereign God. I believe that He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. And I'm going to trust the Lord. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. And here in this situation, I want you to see, if you will, quickly, in verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb. Do you see that? He rebuked the foul spirit. Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. How many of you believe this is the best day of this boy's life? Amen. I mean, he's going to get delivered once and for all. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Hallelujah. God's in control. I love this next verse. Jesus took him by the hand. Can't you just see the Lord there in His might and His power and His dominion ordering that spirit? And then this boy collapses to the ground and it appears he's dead. And I don't know about you, preacher, but I love to put myself in the story. And I just see myself standing there as the Lord Jesus lifted him up. And my, oh my, the compassion that was flowing out of our Savior's heart as He lifted that boy up and restored him to dignity, restored him to normal humanity. Amen. But then look, if you will, our last thought. Skipping ahead, the disciples got the Lord privately. Why could not we cast Him out? And He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, It may be, please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. You know, the Bible says the Lord knows what we have need of even before we ask. Can I just say it this way, and maybe we can all relate to this a little bit. Has the Lord ever answered a prayer that you had not really even yet prayed? I mean, met a need, and you know, I should have been praying about that, but God in His grace and His blessedness just met my need and took care of this situation and solved the problem. That's always a blessing when God intervenes of His own will and we've not really engaged the Lord. But I do believe that there are certain things that God says, until you ask, until you get involved, until you've invested, I'll hold back. If you want to write something in your Bible that will be an encouragement to you, and I will confess tonight that it is a mystery that I cannot verbally explain, but prayer proves God. And prayer moves God. And it moves the heart of God, and it moves the hand of God. And for whatever reason of God's own choosing, when you and I pray, that you know, of all the things the Lord could have initiated that would give us that ability to engage with Him, think about it, folks, prayer and faith. Does prayer and faith really cost us anything? If you think about it, does it cost us anything? It really doesn't in the end. Because when we exercise faith and we pray and we call upon the Lord, God does so much more than we ever believed He would. But our last thought is this: be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to sacrifice. This kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. There are going to be those times when we have got to commit ourselves to a season of prayer and faithfulness and continuance in prayer and fasting and just purposely getting alone with God and appealing to the courts of heaven until God moves. But I believe tonight we can be encouraged that if we'll pray as we ought, God will hear and God will help. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, help us, Lord, to pray as we ought. Pray, Lord, without ceasing, praying continually. Really, Lord, living in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. Trusting and believing, Lord, that regardless of the circumstances, whatever the challenges may be, God, You're far greater and ever able to be a present help in time of need. Lord, I thank You for this Father and his son who experienced the power and the greatness of God in their lives. Lord, it's not a parable, it's a real event. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would be encouraged that we do not pray to a storybook God. We pray to the God of the Bible, He who made heaven and earth and all that in them is. Lord, help us to love You and to trust You and to pray, believing that we might receive. And Lord, when we receive Your grace, might we also give You great glory and honor and praise. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.